We begin today's Two-Way Street with a conversation with one of the Atlanta Constitution's best-loved writers, Kay Powell. During her tenure at the AJC, Powell attracted a large circle of readers. She didn't write about hot new restaurants or blockbuster movies. She wrote about the dead. During her 13 years as obituary editor, Powell estimates she wrote more than 2,000 obituaries. She wrote about the famous, of course, but her specialty was writing about the so-called ordinary Georgians who had passed away. Powell's mission was to uncover facts about each individual life that made for often surprising, sometimes funny, but almost always fascinating obituaries. And when we read Powell's obits, we came to understand that no life could really be called ordinary. If you think devoting your career to covering dead people seems like a somber and depressing business, you don't know Kay Powell.
When I was obits editor at the AJC, we always said we write about how they lived, not how they died. If you go back and read those obits we wrote, and I say we because I had a team of writers through the years, different ones, there might be one sentence about death. There might be another sentence about funeral plans. At the tail of the story are survivors. In between, we sum up the person's life. Now, it's not a biography. It's not a eulogy. It's a news obit article. They are news. What's the first question people ask when somebody dies? And what's the second question? What did he die of? How old was he? So those two elements must be in a news obit article. It doesn't matter who you are. Now, we did have some women who kept their age such a secret, even their children didn't know. One who was a prominent businesswoman here in town even lied on her passport. So you kind of make that part of the story explaining why you're not telling how old they are, because even the children don't know enough to tell you.
Let's back up.
All right.
What was your thought when you were invited to take that position? How did you feel about that job?
I loved the idea because Ron Martin, who was the editor at the time, said he wanted to do two things. He wanted to write about ordinary people, and he wanted to create a sense of community for the readers to feel ownership in the paper. And I was so excited. And Bill, to the day I left, there was never a day I didn't go into work that I wasn't looking forward to it.
So an individual dies. You decide that you need to write the obituary of that person's life. And so you have to begin developing sources, those who knew that person well enough to give you the kind of information that could give you the opportunity to write a rich obituary, an accurate obituary.
Yes, accurate is the key word there. It's all a matter of building trust, and it starts a lot of times with the funeral homes that would give us the family contact information. How you approach that family when you get them on the phone, getting that conversation done, asking them for friends. It's always important to have an outside voice. And so I spent a long, long time giving my little spiel of who we write about and how we choose them and all like this to the funeral directors, to families that called in. Eventually, the readers caught on to what we were doing and loved it. And so a lot of times we would have them call and not necessarily tell us about a family member that they thought we should write about, but somebody in the neighborhood maybe that was unique, that was very little known, or just somebody interesting. So it was a complex system of building up trust.
But that first phone call.
Yes.
The phone is answered at the home where people are grieving, and you say, I'm Kay Powell, I'm with the Atlanta Constitution, and that can be a tough moment to get people to talk, can't it?
I used to teach an entire course on the psychology of words and how important it is. Usually it would be, I'm Kay Powell with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and I am not selling you a subscription. Mr. Smith at the funeral home gave me your number to contact you. I was so sorry to read about Mr. Nygaard's death from the information in the funeral home, and I was captivated by the fact that he spent his life collecting 45 RPM records. I want to talk to you about that, to write an article in the paper. Is this a convenient time? And sometimes they would say, well, I can't talk right now. I'll talk to you next week. And you say, I would love to talk to you next week, except this is a daily story. And I can understand completely if you don't want us to write the story because you don't have time. Oh, no. I'll make time. I have time. But you start out with that sort of building trust, giving them confidence, letting them know straight up what you're calling for and what you're doing. And sometimes it takes a hard left turn. What you call up to start writing about in print winds up something entirely different because of your conversations with the family, with friends, your research and archives. You find a dimension to the person that you didn't know anything about.
This was a job that meant more than just gathering basic facts. This was delving into and creating as complete and accurate a portrait as possible.
One of my writers said, you know what Case is, bring them back to life. And that was our job, was to capture sort of what was the essence of them. And again, you can't tell their entire life story, but you want to capture sort of what defined them, capture some of that personality.
I believe you, at one point in your career, said, be careful about living till you're 90 because your obituary is going to be shorter.
The longer you live, your 90-inch obit becomes a 30-inch obit. Yes.
How did you decide which people would get obits and which wouldn't?
My whole career in journalism was in hard news and breaking news and as a news reporter. And that builds an instinct in you, coupled with a curiosity. And the least little item about somebody could catch my attention. I saw that somebody was a Kmart greeter, and I said, well, we've never written on a Kmart greeter. Well, it turns out the man had been CEO of an international furniture company. In fact, they made the furniture that was used in the house in the television show Dallas. He retired. He got bored. He missed being around people. So he took a job as a Kmart greeter. How can you know that? I saw that somebody priced groceries in a grocery store. I said, well, everybody has to buy groceries. We've never done this. Let's write on him. Well, it turns out he collected prize-winning show-quality skunks. And he even had a motorcycle with his best prize-winning skunk airbrushed onto it. I figured if I was curious about him, the reader would be too.
You wrote an obituary that really tells a pretty powerful story about a collection of people you would not expect to see together.
I loved it when we could reveal in our obits information that were little known or unknown, particularly about Georgia and Atlanta history. And when Jim Sanders, the wine merchant, died, I interviewed Doc Lawrence, who's in the wine community here, for his obit. And Jim Sanders at his wine shop had in the back what he called the soup kitchen. Every day he'd cook up a meal, pair it with the European wine, and those in the know knew they could go to the back room and eat and drink and talk. Well, one day in that room were former Governor Marvin Griffin, who was the segregationist, Ralph McGill, liberal editor and pro-civil rights advocate of the Atlanta Constitution, and the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who was in the shop buying champagne for his and Coretta's anniversary. The three of them wound up in Jim Sanders' soup kitchen, eating and drinking and telling stories and laughing and carrying on all day long. Jim had to run them out of the store to lock up for the night. And when he looked out the plate glass window on the sidewalk, those three men were still telling stories and laughing and slapping each other on the back.
And you learned all this as you researched the obituary of Jim Sanders.
Yes, when I interviewed Doc Lawrence, he told me this, and he said, Kay, I've never told this story to anybody.
You didn't write obituaries about people only. You wrote an obituary for the planet Pluto.
Yes, I did. It ran on the front page with a huge graphic, but I wrote the obit for Pluto the planet in our AJC obit style. And this was the lead. Pluto, the least of the major celestial bodies, never asked to be a planet. Once elevated, it became an influential figure in astronomy and astrology, in classical music, and in cartoons. And then in our obits, we always had a cause of death and funeral plans. So for Pluto, I said, no memorial service is planned because it has been several years since astronomers considered Pluto a real planet. And then at the end, we always listed survivors. So for Pluto, I said, survivors include 8 planets, Earth, Jupiter, Mars, Mercury, Neptune, Saturn, Uranus, and Venus.
I'd like to read one back to you.
Okay.
And this is in keeping with the philosophy that Ron Martin suggested, which was that you write about ordinary people. And this one was very touching to me. Mike Huddleston, 44, Noonan. Every 8-hour shift, he worked at Delta Airlines. Mike Huddleston was responsible for getting 5,000 pieces of luggage to the correct spot at Hartsfield International Airport. His record was so outstanding that Mr. Huddleston was featured in a Discovery Channel special, The Secret Life of Luggage.
I saw that he was a baggage handler. I called the family. I got the usual things. I got information from them about his supervisor at Delta. And that's when, at the last minute, I got the details about his being featured in that Discovery Channel. On the job, he lost 4 fingers. 2 were reattached, and 2 never were able to be reattached. But he kept a positive attitude working.
Bruce Williams of Coweta County. You wrote an obituary of Mr. Williams, and you learned something from Griffin Bell that you used in the obituary that was pretty interesting. What had Bruce Williams done?
Bruce Williams made a sausage that Griffin Bell called rooster pepper sausage, and it was famous and popular and well known. And when Jimmy Carter was in the White House as president, and Griffin Bell was his attorney general, Griffin Bell felt like they needed rooster pepper sausage. And Griffin Bell, the attorney general of the United States of America, would smuggle rooster pepper sausage into the White House, past the Secret Service, past all the guards, past all the checkpoints. And he had half of Capitol Hill hooked on rooster pepper sausage.
I want to share with you, again, something you wrote. You talk about how details enrich an obituary. Mm-hmm. And one sentence that you cite is, she was so little, her shorts met her socks.
That gave me an image immediately. I can still see that little girl in my mind.
But then you talk about clothing in a way that really gives us a very strong image of the kind of person you were writing about. Dale Sheriff, a construction worker. His Levi's always had a crease down the center of the leg, and he polished his work boots. We know a little about him, don't we?
You get a picture of him, I hope. I hope.
You get to know people, ironically enough, after they're gone in that job. There's got to be some slightly dissonant feeling about that, I would think.
It's a personality profile, but there did. In fact, I'd go to my editor and I said, Laura, I've got to have more space. I have gone and fallen in love with this man. And she said, Kate, you fall in love with all of them. You've got to start falling in love with them when they're alive.
In just a minute, we'll have more of my conversation with Kay Powell. She spent 13 years as the obituaries editor of the Atlantic Constitution before retiring in 2009. This is Two-Way Street. We'll be right back.